Welcome to Sunday Times Politics Weekly. Today we are looking into the politics behind the national budget that was delivered yesterday by Finance Minister Tito Mboweni. But before we start, we want to remind you to subscribe to our podcast for free at iono.fm, Spotify, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts from. If you like our podcast or want to engage with us, chat to us on Twitter using the hashtag STPoliticsWeekly. Or rate us on your favorite podcast app.
This aircon is racist.
I've never ever been a spy.
Can the VBS bank loot?
The problem is that pinky.
I'll never subject myself to whiteness.
Order!
I'm listening.
Can you have consistency, Honorable Chair?
Corruption was an Olympic sport. They will always win gold.
This is not a Shakespeare.
Sergeant at arms, can you please come
on the
in?
Point of order.
Joining me in studio today is a fantastic group of people, my esteemed colleagues at the Sunday Times. We have from the Sunday Times politics team, Apiwe de Klerk and Zingisa Mvumvo, and joining us for the first time, business writer Modio Gavaza. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So, Tito Mboweni and his aloe plant. Shall we start there? There was an interesting quote that Tito Mboweni said when he opened the budget speech on Wednesday in the National Assembly, talking about winning, and says that South Africa has won before and they can win again. So a lot of optimism from the finance minister. But he later qualified that statement by saying that to win, or for South Africa to win, it will need hard work, resilience, patience, strategic thinking, etc. And I thought that was quite interesting. And a lot of people have said that this budget was Tito Mboweni basically realizing that he doesn't have too many cards to play. What did you think, Madhu?
And I think the way, when you just look at what he ended up doing, where the cuts were made and the decisions that were not made to get increased revenues, definitely shows you that he didn't have a lot of cards to play. I mean, there's hardly anything apart from the syntaxes where they are going to get any more revenue on that end. And that's even offset by the fact that, for example, property, you no longer have to pay duty. So, you know, you give on one end, you take from the other. It's a tough one. So I think I definitely, you know, it's good to have optimism, but the reality on the ground is, I guess politically and economically, because South African consumers are already so constrained, there's only so much you could, that he could actually have done.
So obviously the one of the biggest things that came out from the budget was a tax relief for individuals. Tax brackets are going to be adjusted, and there would be some personal income tax rebates that would be increased. Someone said something interesting, that Tito Mboweni has realized that there are no more rich people to tax in South Africa, and that you cannot tax people anymore, you'll just have non-compliance.
Well, there are rich people to tax in South Africa, but it's not many. You know, we know that most of the money in this country rests in a very, very, very few hands. You know, and I mean, those people and the companies that they have, they do pay tax. I mean, we know previously there's been suggestions of taxing more the rich and being more lenient on the poor. But I guess
but the reality of it is that money is going offshore. So
yeah. Anyway, and I mean, talking about that too, we know about the phenomenon of illicit financial flow, monies that ought to be here in the country but are leaving the country in illegal ways. So, I mean, but in the main, really, I agree with my brother. I don't see much how that budget speech, you know, speaks to any change or anything of the sort, because you cut here, you give relief that side, you know. Really, for me, there was nothing much I took away from the thing other than the attempt to reduce the wage bill, which has been a very contentious issue. I want to see how that one is going to play out politically, especially we know COSATU will always be opposed to such issues. I really want to see how that is going to happen in the next 3 years, as the minister said.
Let's take time to talk about the cutting of the wage bill and listen to what the finance minister said in relation to this yesterday.
The second part is adjustments on the wage bill by about 160 billion rand over the medium term. Public servants do crucial work for our country, often unappreciated. Working with the public sector unions, we have over the past 15 years sought to improve the lot of public servants. And we have committed significant resources for compensating them every year, even as we have tried to increase their numbers in recognition of their demanding workloads. Organized labor understands where we are and share the pains of this government. They have made constructive proposals on a range of issues which need to be discussed and negotiated. We must be open to negotiations and discussions.
So the issue of the cutting of the wage bill has been the proposal of opposition parties, Apuwe, for the longest time. And it's almost like a quick fix solution, cut the wage bill. It is unsustainable to have this many civil servants, number one, and number two, this many civil servants earning the amount that they're earning and then getting increases that are not related to what the economy is functioning at. No one in the private sector on the levels of civil servants are getting the type of increases civil servants are getting. Was it just the matter of time that the government had to decide we have to pull the plug on this?
Look, it's a difficult decision to take, given the position that the ANC finds itself with the support of COSATU. They always felt like if COSATU is happy, we are safer at the ballot. So now when you start provoking them, and it's going to be interesting how this one plays out, COSATU is not as fierce in their fight against government as they were, say,
2007,
yes. Or even 20. When was the last biggest?
In Vavis days, man.
Vavis days, yeah.
No, because I'm saying 2007 was that big. Was Vavi at his height?
Yeah.
And then 2012 was Vavi at his, but it was still in his heyday.
Yeah. So they are not that COSATU now. So it's going to be interesting how they take it. How they do it, it needs careful attention. You don't want to lose those people who are an asset to the state, people whose skills we're going to need to outsource. I remember I was discussing this with a colleague yesterday.
When I am that colleague.
you don't want to have to get a highly skilled guy who has institutional memory being lost because they earn so much, and then they go and start a consultancy company that is then going to be draining money from the state because they have to hire them. That is going to be important. I hope Tito in the debates that then come later before the budget is adopted is going to give a bit of a detail on how they are going to do it. I heard Vavi this morning already criticizing government for reneging on the agreement, at least for this year, that they signed, which was in the main pushed by COSATU aligned unions when they, some of them, didn't agree. So it's interesting to see. If it's going to save us money, I mean, let it happen. But it must happen in a manner that is not going to cripple the capacity of the state.
Let's take a listen to what COSATU thinks about Tito's plan.
Well, as COSATU, we view the minister's decision to target the public service as an act of provocation. We find this totally unacceptable when you consider the fact that municipal workers are paid through the fiscus, SOEs are paid through the fiscus, state agencies are paid through the fiscus, yet the minister is saying nothing about those workers, is only targeting civil servants. we are not going to take this lying down where we view it as a challenge. We are going to respond. The 2018 collective agreement is a legal document. We are going to look for enforcement mechanisms to make sure that on the 1st of April, workers get what is due to them. If push comes to shove, we will mobilize. If there's one thing that we are not going to allow is for a minister to pacify big business, pacify ratings agencies by targeting civil servants. COSATU's position is clear. We are not going to renegotiate 2018 collective agreement. We are not in the business of taking something that has already been achieved by the workers and handing it back to employers, because what the minister is proposing is that let's pickpocket these workers. Workers who compromised in 2014 are being told that what they thought they had achieved now is going to be taken away from them, and that is unacceptable.
So it's quite predictable for the unions and COSATU to be vehemently against this, and I think there's two important points. The first of which is they're saying it's an act of provocation, probably in the way government presented this cut. It was almost what they call an ambush to say, well, we needed money, tough luck, we're pulling out of this 3-year agreement. The other issue is, where must government get the money from? And the justification about making the cut. So this is not retrenching people. This is saying, we cannot give you the increases we plan to give you for the rest of the year. And the reality of it is many people in the private sector have not gotten increases this year because of the economy. So saying to civil servants, you will still have your job security, you will still have everything that comes with your job, but you won't have the increase that was promised to you. Is that the end of the world? Mudil?
I think firstly, because I think the number that was thrown out was the 160 that they're trying to say from trying to cut
for from 3 years.
That they're trying to cut from the public sector wage bill. My thinking is that, as much as it was an ambush, they probably decided that this is something we need to do in the public domain. And so that, you know, behind closed doors, they'll likely get the unions to come down, because probably now that we have 160 in our heads, they probably have a number below that, right, that they're trying to go for. But they know that the unions will come and fight and negotiate them downwards up to whatever number they are actually looking for. Mm. That's the first thing. And then I think the second one is simply that, I think government has sort of gotten to that point where, I guess, these are the ramifications of old policies or the status quo of doing things, right? Mm. Because for years, government employees were getting all of these increases.
But also, government was used as a job creator, which is a terrible idea.
Exactly. So you're using the state to create all of these jobs. You're giving all of these increases somewhere down the line, right? Because you can't pluck money out of the sky, right? You have it. Catches up with you, and right now it's catching up to South Africans to the tune of 160 billion rand, right? And like what Kwanita is saying, in the private sector, even though in the private sector wages make up a greater proportion, because I think government wages make up about 35% of the of wages, the increases were just not going to be sustainable, right? At some point, someone probably, these ideas have been there, but people are trying to just kick the bucket. I will not be the one, you know, to cut these increases. Let's let the next administration, the next government do that thing. And I think the bucket was kicked down the line
for
so much.
Years.
Yeah. That now we're at 160 billion. Had it been cut back, let's say 10 years ago, we might have been hearing the then finance minister saying, no, we're going to cut maybe 5 or 10 billion from the whatever less.
Because if you think about last year Tito Mweni went up and said, we don't want to cut the wage bill. So he wasn't as provocative last year. And they said they're going to try the scheme of national attrition or incentivizing people to leave the public service. Mm. They realize they're not saving any money from that. Mm. So the alternatives are not really there. Although COSATU says that, no, we must do away with consultants, etc. Do you think, Zingisa, there is a way for Tito to find the money elsewhere?
Look, you, first of all, let me touch on this one of the consultants. To a certain degree, I do agree with COSATU that consultants are a complete waste of money, but we can't look into the issue of consultant in isolation to the deadwood that is there in government, because part of the reason that government ends up outsourcing most of the work that ought to be done by people within. I mean, for instance, there is no government department, municipality, at provincial level, at national government that doesn't have a communications team. But these people would still go out and pay 60 million for communication consulting services. What nonsense is that? You know, and I would say sometimes it's necessitated by the lack of the necessary skills or incompetence by those that are within who are supposed to do the job, you know, and then you end up consulting. Therefore, there's a lot of deadwood that also must be let go, you know, from the public sector. And then I think if we do that and the people who are within are only people who are capacitated and skilled and competent to do the jobs that they are employed for, there wouldn't be a need for consulting in most of the jobs anyway.
But the problem, Abiwe, is that those discussions don't lead to immediate cash flow. So if you want to have conversations around the capability of the state and do we need such department or don't we need such department, all of those, it's not going to answer your immediate problem that you need 50 billion to help your deficit for the year.
That's true. And the main problem with not having that discussion, first of all, or rather having it and it not having an immediate impact, is that the numbers guy, they talk to the numbers and the real picture. Those in charge, they talk to politics and what it would mean for their survival. So when you talk about the correct people for the job, it's not necessarily what the politician wants to hear,
exactly,
but it's what the numbers guy, which is at the end of the day, it's going to boil down to that, the money, the numbers. So if I'm going to hire, should I hire Mvumvu and Apiwe to do a job that Kwanita can do by herself? You see, but because the guy who is in charge believes that, if I have these two, they are my guys. Mm. I would rather have the two of them benefiting than have this person who is not necessarily my person. You see, so we shoot ourselves on the foot, and then when we are brought down and we are told about the crisis that is the shortage of money, really to pay these people. We play politics as a country. We go to the streets. I'm expecting that COSATU is going to go to the streets.
Hmm.
As soon as COSATU goes to the streets, it's going to be bad. We are going to lose productive time. Hmm. So,
but that threat that COSATU used to be able to, the axe on the neck of government. How sharp is it? I don't know.
It's not sharp at all. In fact, it's not there.
but you must look at it this way. The reason why it's not there is because of the current COSATU that you have.
Yeah.
As soon as the current COSATU that you have say, no, we won't take this, and NUMSA is going to join them.
Yeah, and supported Vavi by other public sector unions.
Yeah.
Public sector unions.
Yeah. And 85% of the public service is unionized. So.
Yes. Yeah. So it's going to go there. Maybe Solidarity will say, no, we don't agree. Maybe But it's going to affect the work government has to do. Can you imagine if, for instance, now the teachers go on strike?
In fact, not only in government, but politically as well, it would be quite a nightmare for the current ANC regime in terms of ANC politics. Now, we know that, COSATU has been very supportive of the current ANC leadership as led by President Cyril Ramaphosa. But if then COSATU takes a stance like that of opposing his government, they will surely also make it difficult for him within the ANC. And President Ramaphosa needs more friends now than ever.
But this conversation, we've been having it for 10 years. And that's the reason why these cuts never happened.
Yeah.
Because this is the same thing for the last 10 years.
As I'm saying to you, that these people, they look at the budget that is available, and then they look at the friends that they need to employ, the allies that they need to bring into government, instead of saying we need a competent engineer to be appointed by the municipality. Doesn't matter whether the guy is from the votes Freedom Front Plus, votes DA, votes EFF. If he's competent and can do the job, then hire the guy. Because now, if you don't, you hire the person, is there, they don't know what they are doing, and they have a deputy who's as clueless, and then you have to go and hire a consultancy company, which is going to
for
cost
job,
you billions.
You already billions.
In some municipalities, crazy things like the formulation of the ITP, which is the municipality's plan, is outsourced to companies to write a 500-page document where... If you go there and listen to what the people are going to say, you know what your department wants to do. You just type it down as a report and put it there. It's simple things like that. And then people are scoring a lot of money out of government. So you have civil servants that are there, paid a lot of money, they're not doing anything. And then you still have to pay people from outside. So, I mean... It's a debate that angers me.
Kusato is on the opposite side of that same coin, where they're saying cut the consultants, don't cut the civil servants.
No, but the answer.
But
was
you can't
saying,
do that because you have it.
They're
incapable. It's not all of it, not all of them.
Yeah. But hence I was saying too that Kusato, they are being opportunistic. They are correct on the consultants part, but they are not telling us about the other side,
which
happens to be their members who are incompetent within the public sector. That's unfortunate.
But talking about political spectre, Tito Mboweni announced the formation of this sovereign wealth fund where he's going to ring fence 30 billion rand, 2 billion US dollars for the creation of the sovereign wealth fund that is going to be us saving for a rainy day.
Yeah.
But the real question, Mado, is how can you be saving for a rainy day that may or may not come when it is raining at the moment, it's storming at the moment. That you have so much of debt,
yeah,
but you want to save for a rainy day.
Yeah. And it's actually quite a problem. I understand the rationale for a sovereign wealth fund.
Sure.
It's done amazing
in
things.
An ideal situation like Norway or China.
Exactly. The famous example is Norway and their oil money, all of that stuff. But in South Africa, I think the timing is off, right? Before we even go anywhere, because if there was ever a time that South Africa was going to get a sovereign wealth fund, it should have been maybe 10 or 20 years ago at the height of the mining industry in South Africa, because you need like a continuous source of revenue. You need like an anchor industry, you know, the way that's just going to pump a lot of money in.
Which they're saying now spectrum is going to, the sale of the spectrum, right? But how much,
right? And not even, and even if you think about spectrum, right? The last time that South Africa gave spectrum to Vodacom and MTN was in 2004 and 2005, Cell C in 2011. That is not a continuous cycle. That is like
so
once
now they're
going
to auction now this year and that's it.
Yeah, that's it for who knows how many years after that. Because if we're saying that Cell C got it in 2011.
It's now 2020.
It's now 2020, right? That's not a continuous flow of income. So good idea, but implementation is just going to be tough. And there isn't extra money, right? Because sovereign wealth
fund, nice to have.
Yes, it's a nice to have when you have, you know, another industry. Let's say, for example, we decided that we're going to throw all diamond money into sovereign wealth fund, for example. Good idea, right? But right now, whatever money is coming in from those diamonds needs to fix Eskom, SAA, post office, SABC, roads, schools. Like it's tough at the moment. Like you said, it's raining.
And you know, you said Eskom and SAA. I know Apiwe is dying to talk about the syntax. We'll get to that. I know you're devastated by the syntax increase, but the Eskom and SAA pledge and it's like this albatross that's around the state's neck at the moment. I think people are fatigued to, you know, that this is constantly a problem, budget after budget, state of the nation after state of the nation. At what point does government say this is it, we cannot? I mean, yesterday Tito Mboweni said what, the sword of Democles, what did he say? Yeah, has fallen on SAA because now it's in business rescue. But I mean, do you think that we're really going to see the other side of this?
It's a really tough one, you know, because for instance, when people say government cannot continue bailing out these struggling SOEs, what then must happen? Are you suggesting that they must be sold? You know, and also, I think the other thing that is never mentioned in this debate of the state-owned companies is what is their mandate? And in my understanding is that the mandate of state-owned companies in the main is not profit-making, but indeed they must sustain themselves, and also, but the main priority in terms of the mandate that they have is a developmental mandate, you know, to develop, to make sure that the country develops and develops. I mean, the supply of electricity enables business to thrive and all those kinds of issues.
But it doesn't have to be mutually exclusive. Other countries have proven that you can have a developmental mandate and you can give money to the fiscus. It can happen.
Yeah, no, I'm saying so. But I'm saying the priority is not... Yes, of course, I mean, it's good to make profit. Perhaps that profit could also be thrown into the sovereign wealth fund. You know what I mean? But the main... issue is developmental. So if you say, but really the rate at which these bailouts are going, it's ridiculous.
It's not developmental. It's the opposite of it.
Absolutely, yeah. And it cannot be sustained. And I mean the collapse of SOEs in the main also has to do with what Apio alluded to earlier on, which I will term reckless cadre deployment and patronage of the ruling party. I will be very blunt. On this one. And for instance, to make an example, under former President Zuma, Eskom staff complement in terms of numbers skyrocketed to new levels. And this was in the spirit of creating jobs for comrades within the ANC to ensure his continued survival and support within the ANC. So really, most of our problems are political. And the ANC continues to do these things for their own selfish political interests that have got nothing to do with the country, and this is why we find ourselves where we are. And the deployments of just people in management who have got no experience or clue of what to do in those state-owned companies, but because they are there to do the bidding of whoever politicians that are in charge at that particular time. And then we find ourselves in this trouble. And it didn't start with Zuma. It was there during former President Mbeki. We know the issue of, you know, the aircrafts in the early 2000s under President Mbeki. It's always been the way of the ANC, and they are doing everything to collapse the state-owned companies.
So broadly, you know, a bad budget because of bad politics.
Yeah. It is. So I was looking at that ALU. He puts it positive about the attributes of the ALU. The only attribute I know is that it tastes bitter.
But it's swallow.
Yeah, so the budget and our economy leaves a bitter taste. Look, I'm with Gwedema Ndashe on SAA. Shut it down.
Yeah, but we can't be having these discussions now. We had a discussion about state or like we're having the same discussions as a country. And in the sense that, but now forget about shutting it down. We can't shut it down today. Where are we going to get the money to pay for it today?
Wait, if why didn't they take a decision to shut it down? Because they could have done that.
Populism.
In their ANC Lekgotla meeting.
It's populism.
It was just last month.
Yeah.
But why are you so optimistic? Or hopeful?
I don't understand the continued support of failing projects that are not bringing anything to us. Some of us don't even fly SAA. Most of the people I know have never been to the airport, but they want to benefit from the budget. That's what I'm saying. To put aside that much money, from your budget, and then you look at people who really need services of government, people who get a 40 rand increase for their child support grant.
Yeah.
No, that one must be Kent as well. So don't go.
No, we're not talking about that. But the DG of Treasury, Dando Mogajani, said that social spending is being affected because of all of this and the result of bad politics.
Yeah, so if I was a voter, a conscious one, I would look at the budget. Maybe they need to go and workshop. If I was an opposition party, maybe workshop the actual vote and say, you see, they gave you 40 rand and then they gave those ones who live in Sentin 165 billion,
Yeah, they are. Yeah.
That's the story of the ANC government.
So obviously, for this bitter budget, Apiwe wanted to drown his sorrows, but he couldn't because it cost more.
Yeah, ne? Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. No, but in they always are going to go for syntaxes. I mean, it's really an easier
but
way
thing
to.
But that doesn't make much of a difference, really. To be honest,
no, it does.
Yeah, it does a lot. Chief, you must compare. You must look at
how
the numbers for
cigars. No. Let's just talk about this.
No.
Because you don't smoke cigars.
Yeah, but it's about all the people that. Because whether we like it or not, people will not stop drinking alcohol.
Absolutely.
Yeah. They will not stop drinking spirits, wine, and now hubbly. They will not stop.
I'm head
with this thing of hubly. Why they target hubly? I was head like, but what has hubly done to you, Tito?
Okay, we gotta wrap up now. Vittorio, just your final thoughts on the finance minister's budget speech and the fight that he has going forward.
Yeah. I think he struck an interesting balance. I'll just come back to what I said at the beginning, that he took from some public sector wage bill from, for example, gave in terms of, let's say, your sin taxes. We're talking about giving to the fiscus. But on the whole, it just sounds like a tough one to go. It's going to be interesting to see how the public sector wage negotiations actually, you know, take place. I'm not sure if that sovereign wealth fund will become a reality, you know, anytime soon. And even if it does, what is 30 billion? I know that for a small country, 30 billion rand is a lot. They say that 30 billion rand is a big commitment. But what is 30 billion rand in the context of 450 billion rand Eskom debt, for example?
Yeah.
So those are the issues that, you know, it's going to be, you know, interesting to see. I am with my colleague that SAA needs to, you know, do something different with that thing. Maybe not shut it down, but take it off the state's hands. For me, that's it. Take it out of the state's hands. Let it go somewhere else, right? It doesn't need to shut down, but let it not be a burden for the South African anymore.
Zingisa, you have 30 seconds. What are your final thoughts?
My final thoughts is that the ANC, for starters, must get away from this marriage with the SACP and COSATU. If this country is about to get ahead on anything that is progressive, for instance, as we were talking about the issue of the wage bill, this wage bill thing is probably never going to happen because COSATU and SACP are going to strangle the balls of the ANC and make them renege on this issue and many other issues. So if the ANC is really serious about taking this country forward economically and otherwise, it must dump COSATU and SACP. Thank you very much.
Thank you for that. We will vote for you in the next election. Apiwe, your final thoughts?
Overall, I think Tito Mboweni tried to you know, have a budget that makes him look like the better devil. He will only have problems with COSATU and SACP. Otherwise, throughout, and even when you were listening to opposition parties, they were quite welcoming of his pronouncements. The EFF, obviously, he has dealt with them with the announcement of the Sovereign Wealth Fund and even the creation of the State Bank. So he played politics very well there. And my conspiracy theory, if you remember on the VAT, is that someone from that team, and this is my conspiracy theory, someone from his team put out the idea that they're going to increase VAT, so that when he delivers a speech, he says, what did you get that from? We're never going to increase VAT, so that he looks like the hero.
You are not paid for conspiracy theories.
He looks like the hero of the people, but we're relieved that he didn't increase VAT. And overall, I think it was not as scary as the past two or three budgets that we had listened to. A lot of relief for the normal folk. Those are my thoughts.
Well, thank you very much for joining us. You are going to pay, 4% more for the drink you have after listening to this very depressing podcast. That is all we have time for today. Please remember to subscribe to our podcast for free. Mahala. There's no syntax on our podcast at iono.fm, Spotify, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your pods casted. By subscribing, you will automatically be notified each time a new podcast is released. If you like our podcast or want to engage with us, chat to us on Twitter using the hashtag STPoliticsWeekly or rate us on your favorite podcast app. Till next week, goodbye.